The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man of the house of David named Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. Coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. First reading, God through the prophet Isaiah goes to King Ahaz and says, "Ask for a sign. Let it be as deep as the netherworld or as high as the sky." In other words, ask for anything you can possibly dream of. God will do it. But even if Ahaz had been given 10,000 wishes, he would have never come up with what we celebrate today. He would have never said to God through the prophet Isaiah, "Become one of us. Take on our own human nature. Take on a human body, a human soul. To use St. Paul's tripartite division, a human spirit. Take on our own life in order to be able to save us." But as St. John Vianney used to say about the way God would act, what man never would have dreamed of asking, God in his love for us has actually done. This is what we mark today. I'd like to help enter into this meditation by pondering what we pray every morning as we begin Mass, what the Church asks all Catholics throughout the world to ponder three times a day, because it's the most important event that ever occurred. The prayer of the Angelus. There are three antiphonal responses there, and then there's a prayer, all of which are meant to help us not just mark this mystery, but enter into it. We start with the third. "The Word became flesh and dwelled among us." That Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, who is with the Father from the beginning, who is with the Holy Spirit, out of love for us in order to save us, entered our world, entered our life, entered all the nitty-gritty details that we ourselves need to battle through over the course of life. He loved us that much. The responsorial psalm and the second reading today ponder that great mystery. Jesus, essentially in the letter to the Hebrews, says back to the Father, "Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire, but a body you prepared for me. And as it is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will, O God." And by this will, the letter finishes this passage, we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. The reason for the incarnation is that God loved us so much that he wanted to right the wrong of our disobedience by his own holy obedience. He came into the world not only in order to do the Father's will, but to show us and to help us to do that same will. We've got a body, we've got a soul, we've got a spirit, precisely in order to do that will. And if we're going to enter into the mystery today, that's one of the things that the Lord wants us to focus on. The responsorial psalm pondered that same mystery. Holocaust and sin offerings you sought not, but then I said, and this is Jesus speaking in the psalm, behold, I come. He has come precisely in order to offer himself as a fitting and acceptable holocaust, and not just himself alone, but to incorporate each of us into that offering of the Father. If the real mystery of the Incarnation is about obeying God, not just as a slave, but as a beloved son, to do so out of love, then that brings us to the second antiphon of the Angelus. When Mary says, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. We see in this beautiful tapestry of the Incarnation over here that at the very moment when the Archangel Gabriel came down to greet her, where was she? She was kneeling, pondering the word of God. At the time when the Archangel was appearing, the great mystics, who also know how to paint, have almost always depicted Mary in the very act of meditating on that word. She wanted to do the word of God. She wanted her entire life to develop according to that word. She meditated on it so much, the great father of the church, St. Athanasius, tells us, that that word literally took on her flesh. That's the theme of her life. The Archangel Gabriel comes down and says, Kyrie ke keratomene. You can see the startle, how startled Our Lady was. Rejoice, you who have been filled with grace. And Mary's almost pointing to herself and saying, are you pointing to me, having been filled with grace? That is the unbelievable exalted title with which all of heaven had greeted her, that she was filled with God. But her response is, behold the handmaid of the Lord. It's almost her own name, that she wanted to be the one who would serve the Lord, serve him even in the most menial day-to-day tasks. That was the way she defined herself, as one who wanted to fulfill that word of God. Likewise, for us to enter on into this mystery, we need to seek to let our entire life develop according to the Lord's holy word, according to the Lord's will. For us to learn from Mary how to be a servant of the Lord, and let our choices, let our aspirations, let our state of life develop according to the Lord's holy plans. The third aspect comes in that first antiphon. This isn't something that can occur by our own power, but nothing is impossible for God. First antiphon is, the angel of the Lord declared to Mary, and she conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. All of this was done by God's own miraculous power. In the Gospel episode, we have that dialogue between Mary and the Archangel. What's the dialogue all about? When the Archangel tells her, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. She asks a question, how can this be? For I will not know man. It would have been an absolutely silly question if she was planning to consummate her marriage with St. Joseph. It would have been obvious how she would conceive and bear a son. Her question only makes sense because she had already consecrated herself as a virgin to the Lord, something that St. Joseph himself would have recognized. And that's why she needed to ask the question about the modality. Was it that the Lord was going to ask her to change her vow of virginity in accordance with his word? Whatever the Lord was going to ask, she was going to do. Or was there going to be another means? That's when the Archangel says, and you can see the Holy Spirit filled with light coming down as a laser beam straight toward Our Lady's heart first, and then her womb, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the son, not just of you, but the Son of God. That great overshadowing of the Holy Spirit continued throughout her entire life, because the incarnation was not a one-time event, but a mystery that continues into the present. And Mary helps us to be able to enter into that mystery of divine overshadowing. And that points to the closing prayer of the Angelus, which links with the prayer of the Mass and which links with the prayer at the altar. Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, so that we might be filled with it, just like Mary was filled with it. Your grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the message of the incarnation of your Son was revealed by an angel, may, through his passion and resurrection, come to the glory of the resurrection. That this whole mystery is to bring us to the glory of Jesus' risen life, which is not merely something that's supposed to come later, but something that's supposed to happen right now when we contact that risen life of the Lord in Jesus, in the flesh. The opening prayer of the Mass prayed that by what we celebrate today, we might become partakers in the divine life of the Lord. And in my favorite prayer of the Mass, every Mass, per huius aquae et vini mysterium, through the mystery of this water and wine, we pray that we may come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Just like our humanity is represented by that little drop of water in the midst of a chalice full of the Lord's wine, signifying his divinity, so the Lord wants to bring us into the full glory of his divine life. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes to overshadow us, just like he overshadowed Mary. We pray during the Mass that the Holy Spirit might overshadow these gifts of bread and wine and bring about just as great a miracle as happened in her womb. The very same Jesus is going to be present here. And then after that, there's a second epiclesis. There's a second overshadowing of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes down upon all of us and seeks to incorporate us, make us one body, one spirit in Christ. That is the will of the Lord. That's what he wants to accomplish here, to divinize us in a sense. Today, learning from Mary, we allow ourselves to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Learning from Mary, we learn how to say we are the servants of the Lord. Let our entire life develop according to that plan. And just like Mary, we allow the Lord Jesus to tabernacle himself within us and become one of us, to dwell with us always. Same Holy Spirit who came down, the same Archangel who came down and filled that room with light, is coming down into this chapel today. We are about to be filled with God. Rejoice, O highly favored daughter. Rejoice, O highly favored son. This is all true. May we respond by recognizing that our body united to the Lord's are meant to be a holy and acceptable sacrifice to the Father through our holy filial obedience, which is the reason why Jesus came into the world, to show us how to obey the Father with love until the end.